My body is so perfect, I do not even know it is here. My body is so perfect, I do not even know it is here. My thought for today, this is Dr. Herbert O'Barley, Dean of the University of Healing in Campo, California. My body is so perfect, I do not even know it is here. That's an interesting concept. We talked about spiritual healing. And we said that when a person has spiritual healing, and it's a true spiritual healing, there is no record anywhere that he ever was ill. There's no record anywhere that he ever had a problem. There's no record ever anywhere at any hospital or any doctor or anything else that he ever had anything to be concerned about. And his family don't know of any previous experience that he had anything to be concerned about, because the spiritual healing, it completely wipes the slate universally of all previous knowledge or previous awareness of that, an experience that was negative, that was not whole. Now, I would like to make this statement very strong, because it is important that we accept it and know it. All of us have many spiritual healings many times in our life, many times, and we don't know it, because it is so completely done that we don't know. We have arrived at that place of spiritual illumination where that particular area that we wanted healing in is done, and we don't know. We don't know. Now you say, it's easy for you to say that, Herb, because there's no way to check it. Yes, that's very true. There's no way to check it. There's no way to check it. But I would offer you a teensy-weensy checkpoint, and that's our statement for today. My body is so perfect, I do not even know it is here. Now you go ahead and you tell me what the cell on the middle of your heel is doing right now, you know. The middle cell, not the one to either side, but just to the middle. You tell me what it's doing, or even what its buddies are doing. You don't have the slightest idea. Tell me what 99 and 99, 100% of your body is doing at this moment. You don't know. You only know, for instance, if you're taking a toothpick, you only know that what you're sensing with the toothpick. If you're looking with your eyes, you only know what you see. There's a lot more back here, you know, and all around and beyond our awareness of vision that we don't even see. And then I say to you, okay, Ingeborg, Inge, remember Ilse's train ride?
Yes.
And what did she do? Can you sort of visualize that?
Yes.
All right. Now, you, right now, are at that moment in time and space visualizing her train ride. Not even yours, but you're visualizing hers because she told the story. Okay? Now, you have all that in you. You have all those possibilities of thinking in you, and you're not thinking about it. But you got it. Every organ action function of your body is actually doing its perfect job, and it's just when you get involved that you get messed up on it. When you think that you hurt, you think that you have a pain, you think that you have a problem, you think that you have anything that needs attention, and you give it that attention instead of not giving it attention. Now you say, well, that's not right. You just can't ignore pain, you can't ignore hurt, you can't ignore circumstances when they're sticking you right in the face there. You can't ignore them. They're right there. They're real. They're very real. And when you say that they're not real, you're just not being realistic. You're not being realistic. And yet, what does the doctor do? The doctor comes in, he gives you all sorts of pills to kill the pain so that it doesn't take your attention, so that the healing can take place. And the healing is what? Anybody know? returning to your original purity and integrity. It's mental. It's an action of the mind. And it's not the body. The body merely outpictures what the mind thinks. And if the mind doesn't even know the body exists, what would happen? Really, if the mind really was not consciously aware of the body being existing, you'd walk right through things. Mm-hmm. You would not be touched by anything else in the world because you would not be aware of it. You would, when you think, now Inga just went back in memory to Ilse's experience on the train. Now, did she take a bus? Did she take an airplane? How did she get back there? How did she accomplish that? And how is it that so quickly she was right there, knowing all about it? Knowing all about it. How did she do that? She did it by her thought. And she didn't do it by a series of thoughts. She did it by one single thought. Oh yeah, that, what a vast filing system we must have in our inner self that we can pop to that. And just imagine now, for instance, you think that's rather quick. You take a computer and you say, 1 × 999 billion zillion, you know, divided by 3, times 4, you know, plus 8, minus 13, you know. Now, you, in your head, would find that a very tedious thing to consider. But the computer, boop, like that, in a snap, it has it. You, in a snap, have it also. But you don't believe you have it because you think you have to go progression, progression, progression. Now, you think you have to grow up from being a little person to being a big person. Well, no, that's not true. You are instantly a big person. When a little person thinks of himself as a big person, he is a big person. When a little person thinks of themselves as a little person, then they are the little person. They are whatever, like kids, they like to play grown-ups. They put on their mommy's and daddy's clothes and shoes, and they're much too big for them, but that's okay, they enjoy it. And they act just like mommy and daddy, and they do the silly and the good things that mommy and daddy do. And instantly, poof, 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 they're through time and space enjoying it. Now, did you ever go to a little girl's tea party? Have you ever seen anything so stupid, so idiotic, so outrageous in your life? They're sitting there drinking nothing. And they have their little teacups that wouldn't hold anything, and they're drinking tea. They say, oh, this tea is so good. I'd like some more sugar, please. And they pretend to put sugar in. I mean, the whole game is, do you think they're tasting it? Oh, yes, indeed. Now, tell them, hey, do you have any chocolate on the table? Oh, no, let me go get it. Or, yes, it's right over here. You know, whatever. And you can't see it. And they create it. And they're beautiful. And can I have a piece of chocolate? I like real dark chocolate. Do you have several kinds of chocolate or just one kind? Oh, we have dark chocolate and white chocolate and creamy chocolate, whatever kind you want. Well, I'd like this piece of dark chocolate. Now, I'd like a big piece, too, because I've got a big appetite for dark chocolate. Well, yeah, this is one of the big pounders, you know. And so I pick it up and hold it like this, you know. It's a pounder, you know. Oh, that's so good. That's so wonderful, you know. And now, is that realistic? Is that facing facts? What is this nonsense, you know? It's playing games. Playing games. Well, that's what all of life is, a game. You are here playing a game, and you are trying to make it a serious thing. And because you're trying to make it a serious thing, it no longer is a fun game for you. You make it into something that is tedious and very tiring. Your body is so perfect, you don't even know it's here, most of the time. And the times you know that it's here is when you think that you know it's here. When you want to think that you know it's here, when you want to pay attention to it, you listen to commercials on television, and they say, oh, my back, I just got up. Oh, I've got to take an aspirin and get rid of the pain. And they take an aspirin, And my goodness sakes, well, did that aspirin have on it the words that this is the way to get rid of the pain? Did the aspirin have on it? Did the aspirin have on it a little focus that says, go down here to where the pain is, you know? I mean, my goodness, this is a miracle sort of stuff, you know? Now, how does the aspirin know how to do that? Well, the aspirin doesn't, and the aspirin doesn't do it either. But you think it does. Now, if the aspirin worked, okay, it would work all the time on everybody. But it doesn't work all the time on everybody. For some people, it doesn't alleviate their pain. For other people, their pain is alleviated just by thinking they're taking it, you know. And for some people, it's a placebo that they take and they think is an aspirin. Now, it's all mental. When are we going to become aware that it's all mental and stop playing the game that it's a physical thing? Like this young man here, he writes, he says, I'm especially interested in what you teach about food and diet and the role it plays in healing. Well, the role that food and diet play in healing is that everything I eat goes to the right place. Mm-hmm. Everything I drink goes to the right place. And yeah, if science tells us today that if we can give ourselves more of a starvation diet, we'll be healthier and live longer. Now, it's not to mean that you don't give yourself something, you know, because you think you need something. But the least that you take, the better it's for you, science wants to tell you. Well, now, another thing, the science will say, you should have a good nutritional diet. You should have all the 7 this and the 12 that and the 13 this and the 42 that, you know, all these various minerals and vitamins and carbohydrates and proteins and you know, all that neat stuff. But you take a lot of people around the face of the earth, they don't have that privilege. They live in a deprived world from our point of view, and they just plain eat rice, basically, you know. And maybe they put a little flavoring in the rice sometimes, you know, maybe a herb leaf or something, you know. But really, it's just something to make them think that they're eating. But what they're really eating is the manna from heaven. They're really eating the substance of the universe. And this is mental substance. And that's very satisfying. Now, you can say, like Barrett Spaulding would have us read in with a meal, do you want to have the grain so that you can grind it up into the flour? Or do you want to have the flour so you can make it into the bread? Or do you want to have the bread so you can make it into a sandwich? Or do you want to have the sandwich so that you can eat it with all the goodies on it? Or do you want to already have eaten and be satisfied and just be enjoying having had sufficient food that made you feel very satisfied? Now, any one of those things. Any one of those things you could do. Now, you would think we would like the latter. But no, we sort of enjoy the mechanisms of the farmers, because we like the grain and growing it. We like the making of it into flour. We like the making of it into bread. We like the making of it into a sandwich. We enjoy, and we like the socializing that we do around the table and eating. And this is what many families are missing today. They're all so busy doing their many things that they don't have the family meals together anymore like they used to, because it's so important. It's so important. It's so important to be rich. It's so important to have all of this money and responsibility and hangover over having to do things that you don't always like to do. And, you know, with all you're getting, if you could get understanding, get love, get to stay with your family and enjoy them, if you're going to have a family. And if you're not going to have a family, well, then have your friends. If you're not going to have your friends, well, then have yourself. Hmm? And perhaps that's the best person that you could ever be having, yourself. When you start recognizing that your body is so perfect that you don't even realize it's there, because you don't. You think you do. You have just enjoyed a nice breakfast, so you think that you have just enjoyed a nice breakfast, but actually you didn't. What you ate was meaningless carbohydrates, meaningless proteins, and meaningless things. They don't mean a thing. It's the interpretation you put on them. You think, my, that was a filling diet. That was a sufficient meal. And I really enjoyed it. And, well, I don't want any coffee. I don't want any tea. I don't want any beer. I don't want any wine. I just want water, or I just want, you know, whatever. But it's got to be pure mineral water. And so that's all we serve up here, is pure water. And some scientist may come along with his chemical laboratory and look over our water and say, my God, you're eating all those bugs and all those things that are creepy crawling around in there, and you can't see them, they're so tiny. Yeah, your water is considered to be very, 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 very pure, but in your water is every type of disease, every type of germ, every type of bacteria, every type of anything that exists on the face of the earth. In fact, in everything is that, even in you and I. But we don't claim it, and we don't put it into motion for ourselves, because we don't feel that it's important. We don't feel that it's something that we have to really do. Now, that's part of the game that we're playing. It's part of the game that we're playing on recognizing who we are and what we are. So now, let's really take into consideration some of these things. We take into consideration the fact, my body is so perfect, I do not even know it's there. I do not even know it's there. I do not even know it's there. My body is so perfect, I do not even know it's there. Like spiritual healing, you don't even know that it happened. So, with your body, start claiming it, knowing it, experiencing it, understanding it, loving it, and realizing that you don't even know it's there. And when you do that, then you're fantastic. And that's the way to fly. That's the way to fly, to be so fantastic that you don't even know it's there. I like it. And I think you'll like it too, if you let yourself get involved in it. And when I walk naked outside, in cold or warm weather, I feel very comfortable. When I walk outside in a little bit of clothing, not enough to keep me warm, then I'm cold. If I walk outside with too much clothing and it's warm, then I'm hot. You see, you are what you think you are. And if I don't touch my body, I don't know that I'm cold. But when I touch my body, then I know that I'm cold. You see, our body is so perfect, I do not even know it is there. I was out by the fence where Brian was working on the fence, and we were talking, and he had his shirt on and his jacket on, and he was his hat on, and you know, he was very cozy warm for himself, and I was very warm too. And I touched my stomach and my chest and so on, and it was cozy warm. And I thought, I should tell him, touch my stomach and my chest here, you feel it's cozy warm. You know, that's the way you can be, just by your mental attitude. And I didn't, but I went my way. But you see, this is what it's our attitude. You try it sometime. Try going outside when it's cool, and don't touch yourself, and don't pretend that it's cool. Just say, I'm warm and cozy. And when I walk the path, I sometimes feel a cool breeze come down the gully, and I say, hey, that's a precursor for the Santana. There's a nice warm breeze coming. And all of a sudden, a warm breeze starts coming down the same place where it was cool before. Just name it and claim it. But Herb, you can do these things. Herb, you've got experience. Herb, you're this, you're that. No, I'm not. You do the same thing. You say it's cold, and so it's cold. You can say it's warm, so it's warm. It's just up to you. What do you want to name it and claim it? And no one can do it for you. You got to do it for yourself. My body is so perfect, I do not even know it is there. And that's wonderful. And that's what it should be. And I love you. So, put it in practice, and you'll find some wonderful results happening.
Thanks.
I love you.